Morning, we're wrapping up our series called After Easter. We've been looking at this time between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension into heaven and watching as the disciples wrestle with their new reality. And along the way, we've been comparing Jesus' victory over sin, over death, to the victory that we experience in our own life. Maybe it's over addiction. Maybe it's the freedom we're experiencing as we surrender our lives to Christ and experience new life the way Jesus intended it to be. But after victory, there's still challenge that comes. There's discouragement, there's doubt, and we've seen the disciples wrestle with each and every one of them. And the really cool part is that Jesus comes in and he has an answer. I think often we get into these places and we try to find the answer within ourselves. And I hope what you've been seeing is that instead of trying to find the answer in ourselves, we need to find the answer in Christ. We need to find the answer in the one who has all the answers. And so this morning, we're going to wrap up and we're going to answer the question, what next? What do you do when you don't know what the next step is? What do you do when the vision isn't clear and we don't know what to do next? We're in John 21, starting in verse 1. And this is what we see. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and the two others of his disciples were together. I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said to them. We're coming with you, they told him. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So Peter's hanging out with some of the disciples, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to go fishing. We know that when Jesus called Peter, he was fishing with his father. He would have been an experienced fisherman. In fact, many of the disciples, when we see Jesus calling them, were fishermen. And so this would have been like a comfort thing for them. And as we've been seeing, there's this confusion, there's some questioning of what's next. Jesus came and he hung out with us and he taught us and he built us up. And now he's gone. So now what do we do? What's next? And for Peter and for these disciples, there is no questioning of what's next. There is no asking, what do we do now? Because they know what to do now when they're fishing. They know how to catch fish. They know what to do with the fish after they've caught them. There's no questions. There's no what now, what next. This is their comfort, their security blanket, if you will. And whether we like it or not, we do this too. We don't know what's next. We don't know how to solidify the victory in our life. Or we just start asking these questions. What do we do now? And instead of taking that step, we run back to the thing that provides us with the most comfort. And sometimes they're good things. Sometimes they're not so good things. But when everything else is out of control and we don't know what to do, at least if we go back to this thing that brings us comfort, we know what to expect. We know what's next. We know how this is going to help us. This is so often why people who have overcome addiction run back to their addiction, because they've overcome and they don't know what to do next. They don't know how to fill the time that addiction ate up for them, or everything else is out of control. And so they run back to the one thing that, even though it hurts them, even though it controls them and takes away from their quality of life, they go back to comfort. Because even though it hurts and even though it takes away, at least we know what the outcome is going to be. At least we know what to expect. And the disciples do the same thing. They go back to the one thing that they know how it works. There's no surprises, and they know what to expect. And so how does Jesus pull us out of our comfort? How does Jesus come to these disciples and pull them out of their comfort? Because comfort is the enemy of calling. Calling so often requires risk. It so often requires faith. It so often pulls us out of our comfort zone. And so we have to consciously make the decision, am I going to choose comfort over calling, or am I going to trust Jesus and take calling over comfort? So how does Jesus come in and fix this? This is what we read. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Friends, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? No, they answered. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. The disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off, and plunged into the sea. Since they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, the other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus told them. So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Come and have breakfast, Jesus told them. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he raised from the dead. What does Jesus do? Jesus challenges the comfort. Jesus walks up. They're in the fish. They've been fishing all night. Nothing's in the net. Jesus comes up to them and says, hey guys, how's it going? And they respond, it's not going good. We haven't caught anything. And Jesus says, throw the net on the other side of the boat. Now, these are experienced fishermen. This is would have been all they'd ever known before Jesus came along. And so you'd expect some indignation, like, who is this guy? They haven't recognized that it's the Lord. They don't know it's Jesus. And you'd expect them to be like, who is this guy to say, oh, just throw it on the other side of the boat. See if it works. But for whatever reason, the disciples listen, obey, throw it to the other side of the boat, and all of a sudden, the net is so full that they can't even haul it in. In fact, as we read more of the story, it says that the net was so full that under normal circumstances, the net probably would have torn. They can't haul it into the boat, so they drag it ashore because that's the only way to secure the fish. So what has Jesus done? Jesus doesn't embarrass them. He doesn't shame them because they're not doing what he called them to. He doesn't do the things that we would normally expect. Because if he did, that wouldn't have the same effect. It wouldn't have the drawing effect Jesus needed. It wouldn't have made the difference that Jesus was able to make. But I think we assume Jesus is going to respond negatively because, let's be honest, if the roles were reversed, we probably would respond negatively. We probably would come down on us being like, man, why are you here again? This isn't where I want you to be. I want you to be over there. And because we impose our reactions and we impose our humanity onto Jesus, we get in this place where our comfort becomes more and more comfortable because we're scared to pray and we're scared to reach out. We're scared because we just don't want to disappoint God. We just don't want Jesus to be disappointed in us. We don't want him to shame us for doing the wrong thing. So we stop praying and we just separate. And then We get to this point where the comfort isn't cutting it anymore. And just like the disciples, they'd fished all night, their comfort zone. But by morning, they're starting to feel, the nets are starting to feel a little empty. And if we step back and we think about it, those times where we've run away from calling and we've stepped into comfort and settled in on comfort, those probably are the times where we actually feel the most empty. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus walks into the situation when the disciples are feeling the most down and feeling empty, because that's when we are the most ready to receive what he has for us. Jesus doesn't step in. He doesn't beat down the disciples. He doesn't shame them. He actually just steps in and he just says, hey, look, guys, you might feel comfortable here, but I'm still better. And as soon as they submit and as soon as they do what Jesus says, they're blessed beyond measure. And I know that that's what Jesus does for us. When we're in our comfort zone, eventually our comfort starts to not meet the need. The peace all of a sudden starts to feel empty. And Jesus steps into that emptiness and he steps into that comfort and he says, you know what? No matter how good the comfort feels, I'm still better. I still have plans that are more than you can bear. I have blessing and abundant life. You just have to follow me. Jesus steps into the comfort and reminds the disciples that he is good, reminds the disciples that he is the source of all wisdom and the source of all blessing, the source of all provision. He is the better way. And so Jesus comes into our life and he reminds us that he is the better way. And when Peter realizes that it's the Lord, he's so excited. He jumps out of the boat, abandons the rest of the boys. They're already struggling with that net of fish. And then one of their guys jumps off. They're like, what's going on? Then he gets to shore. They're dragging that net. And he's so excited, he grabs the net and he pulls it ashore himself. He's just like, woo, Jesus is here. Jesus is better. And I don't know about you, but those times where I've maybe chosen comfort over calling, and all of a sudden Jesus comes in and he reminds me that he's way better than what the comfort has to offer, oh, I get so pumped up. And I know that if you do the same, you will experience the same energy, the same excitement, the same joy to get back at what God has called you to. Jesus steps in and he challenges the comfort. And then we have this really interesting back and forth between Jesus and Peter. Starting in verse 15. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said to him. You know that I love you. Feed my lambs, he told him. A second time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep, he told him. He asked him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time. Do you love me? He said. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, follow me. Throughout Three times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And three times Peter said, yes. And so often we read this and say, well, Peter denied Jesus three times, so Jesus is just undoing what Peter had done. And that's probably true. It's probably a good explanation about what's going on here. But I want you to see something else that's going on in this story. Peter has run to his comfort. Jesus has come into the comfort, shown that he is a better option than whatever the comfort zone, the security blanket we could choose. And then Peter has this interaction, but in the process of it, Jesus actually gives Peter a plan for the calling on his life. He says, first, feed my lambs, shepherd the sheep, feed my sheep. Now, back then, they would have known that you can't feed lambs the same thing that you feed sheep, because they're lambs. They need nutrients-rich stuff that's not hard on their stomach. They need special treatment. And as lambs grow into sheep, they need to be guided and led and comforted and taken care of and built up and encouraged, but also corrected and... But as they are growing, they can't continue to eat the same things the lambs eat. They need better stuff. They need heartier stuff. They need stuff that can sustain a sheep. Peter hears this, and all of a sudden, you know that he knows what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you need to start off by coming alongside these new believers that are going to come and teaching them the things that they need when they are young in their faith. And as they grow in their faith and they grow in their relationship with me, you need to shepherd them and care for them and lead and guide them. You need to correct them at times. You need to encourage them at times. Build them up and help them into health. And as they continue to grow and get stronger, you need to give them the deeper, heartier things of faith. Paul talks about how when we're young, we need spiritual milk, but as we grow, we need spiritual meat. We can't stay lambs. We can't stay babies of the faith. Because if a lamb stays a lamb its whole life, there's something wrong with it. It's not healthy. The same thing for us in our faith. If we stay young in our faith forever, there's something wrong. At some point, we have to start to grow and start to take in the deeper things of our faith. But Peter receives the clarity that he needed. The very thing that caused him to run to his comfort zone, Jesus got. But it only came after Peter completely surrendered to Jesus. Jesus brings clarity. And that's where, I think that's where we get hung up sometimes. See, Peter was probably good with following Jesus to the ends of the earth. He says that, I'll die with you, Jesus. Peter was ready and willing to be led into the calling that Jesus had put on his life, but was he willing to give up fishing? Was he willing to give up his security blanket? And when Peter finally submitted in throwing the net on the other side of the boat, it was this moment where Peter had completely surrendered to Jesus. And when Jesus had the complete surrender and knew that Peter had given his full life, his whole free will to him, that he received the clarity that he just so desperately needed. And I think that's where we need to get to. I think so often we're looking for clarity. We're looking for what's the next step? Where do you want me to go next, Jesus? And Jesus is pointing in a spot that we don't want him to point. He's zeroed in on something that maybe we're holding on to and we don't want to give to him. We don't want to surrender this thing to him. And he's like, you want clarity? You need to give that to me and trust me with it. Whatever it is, if it's finances, it's our family, it's our business, whatever it is, that's those secret things in our life. Whatever they may be, until we completely surrender our will and say, Jesus, my whole life is yours. My free will is yours. Everything about me is yours. I don't think we will ever get the clarity that we desire. Because we do this to ourselves. We're just like, wow, Jesus, yeah, I'm good with following you in my career, and I'm good with following you with my family, but my finances, I've been reading. I think I got it under control. This is the way our family's always done things. I can't just go and change it now. And yet, after Jesus has proven himself to be good and all-sufficient and the source of abundant life, we just need to give it all to him and watch the clarity just come. Watch Jesus lead us into things that we didn't know we needed to be led into, to do things we didn't know we could do. Today is the day that Jesus is calling each and every one of us to completely surrender our lives, completely give all that we are to him, so that we can step into the good and abundant things that Jesus wants to call us to. And I ask you today, is today the day you surrender that thing that you've been holding on to? Is today the day that you give up the security blanket and say, God, no plan Bs. Wherever you take me, wherever you want to lead me, that's where I'm going to go. That's where I'm going to go. Are you going to trust that no matter where you find your comfort, no matter where you find your safe zone, Jesus is better than your safe zone? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, Father, I'm sorry for the things that I hold back from you, that we hold back from you. God, I'm sorry for the times where I want to do things on my terms instead of yours. My will, not yours. And so, God, I pray that today for myself and for everyone who's listening, that we would get to this point of full, complete surrender to you, to go where you want us to go, to do what you want us to do, and to fulfill the calling that you have set aside for us and only us to accomplish. I thank you, God, that you have a calling for each and every one of us. Give us the clarity and the wisdom to know what it is and the boldness to step into it wherever it may take us. Jesus, we love you. We give you all our praise and thanks. In your precious name, amen.